It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO holding brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today is our two-year anniversary of the podcast, and to celebrate that, we have Glenn Lundy with 800% Elite Auto. Glenn, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Two-year anniversary. That's awesome, man. Congratulations. What do they say? Most people do like 8 podcast episodes and they're out. So you're hitting the two-year mark. How many episodes have you guys done?
We've done over 100.
Nice. Congratulations, man. That's awesome. Put you in the top 5% of all podcasts in the world.
Yeah, no, I love it. So huge fan of yours. So thanks for being a part of our anniversary podcast. Before we get into the episode of Do You Want to Win at Every Level in Sales, can you tell our audience a little bit about you? What got you to this point in your life?
Yeah, so my name is Glenn Lundy. I am a husband to 1. I am a father to 8. The founder of the 800% Elite Automotive Club. I also have a daily morning show called Hashtag Rise and Grind. We've done 1,186 episodes as of this morning, 5:30 a.m. live. I'm also the number one speaker in America.
Just
won that competition recently, which was amazing. I love Jesus. I'm a big fan of the big G God. And I'm just a guy who's I want to live out 800%, man. I want an 800% lifestyle. So that's me in a nutshell, Corey.
I love that. So I follow you quite a bit and I watched the contest. And I got to tell you, the speech that you did gave me chills. It really inspired me. So great job. Congratulations on winning that. That's huge.
Thank you, man. Yeah, that was a crazy deal, right? 27,000 people. Then they narrowed it down to like 160 for the live auditions, and then narrowed it down to 12 for day 2, and then they narrowed it down to 4 for the big stage at MGM Grand. And I had 3 minutes, man, 3 minutes to captivate an audience, make them feel something. And thankfully, you know, God has put me in a position to be able to use my voice in a powerful way. And we were able to take home the trophy, baby, number 1.
Yeah, you brought it home. I mean, you tied everything in from the start of it. You gave us the beginning, the middle, and the end. And when you tied it all together, I'm like, that's how you're supposed to do that. So I was wondering if it took you a long time to come up with that, or if you just came up with it on the fly.
Yeah, so normally in speaking environments, you know, they tell me I have, you know, you've got 20 minutes, which really means you have 20-ish. I've got 45 minutes. You got 45-ish. You got an hour. You got an hour-ish. Whereas this particular event, they were like, if you go 1 second over 3 minutes, you're disqualified, right?
Wow.
And so that was different. That was intense. And so the stories that I told weren't new, right? Like I told the story, you know, of my life, the way I grew up. That part wasn't new. Tying it into Grant Cardone and what he did, since it was his event, was important. So I made sure to tie that in, but most importantly, being able to bring the audience. And so once I took, you know, what I wanted to say, then I had to break that down to what are the very precise words we have to use to get this done in 3 minutes. So I practiced for about, I guess I had two, three weeks. So I practiced, you know, I wrote it and wrote it and wrote it and wrote it and narrowed 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 it. Okay, get rid of this word, move in this word, get rid of this word, move in this word. So it was very technical, which is not how I normally do with my speaking events, but it was very, very technical. Lots of rehearsal, lots of practicing. I'm walking down the street, I'm doing the speech. Before I go to bed, I'm doing the speech. I recorded myself on audio. I'm listening to it while I'm sleeping, you know, trying to get every word to fit into that 3 minute window. So it was pretty intense. But we got it done, man. We got the ball across the finish line.
Yeah, that's great. So before we get into this episode, I want to know at the core, what is 800% Elite?
Yeah, so 800% is really a lifestyle. We have been told to give 100% in life. And I think, I don't know about you, but you know, my parents, and I look at the generation that came before me, and I think a lot of those people gave 100% to their job. Mm-hmm. They worked 40 years or whatever to get their gold watch. And I look at the life that they have now, and I'm like, man, they're still worried about bills. They're still got a budget. You know, they might be retired, but they're not living. And they gave 40 years, you know, of their life to somebody else's dream and somebody else's vision. And so I think in today's day and age, giving 100% in one area is not the answer. It's, we got to give 100% in all eight foundational areas of life, which is 100% in our faith, 100% with our family, 100% in our friends and relationships, 100% when it comes to our fitness, 100% when it comes to our finances, 100% when it comes to our career, 100% when it comes to ourself and our mental health, and 100% when it comes to being a student of this thing called life, right? Constantly educating ourselves. And so to me, an 800% life is giving 100% in all eight pillars of life. And what you find is when you do that, like, you can have it all, man. Corey, we've been told you can't have your cake and eat it too. I'm like, what's the point of having the cake if you can't eat it? Like, that's nonsense. We've been told we have to sacrifice, right? We use that word a lot in society. You have to sacrifice time with your family in order to build a business. You have to sacrifice time with your friends or relationships in order to be wealthy, in order to build wealth. It's a lot of conversations around sacrifice, which is exactly what Rockefeller and all those guys wanted us to do in the 20s. They're like, hey, sacrifice 45 years of your life and we'll give you a gold watch. Yeah. Right. And so I'm not about that life, man. I'm not about sacrificing my family for my business, and I'm not going to sacrifice my business for my family. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invest, right? Which, this is huge, Corey. When I discovered this, changed my entire life. I don't spend time doing anything. I invest every minute of every single day. Because I noticed a pattern, Corey. I noticed when we use the word invest, we expect an ROI.
Right.
And so I'd hear people say, I'm going to invest in the stock market. I'm going to invest in my business. I'm going to invest in myself, right? We hear all those things all the time. And immediately we expect an ROI. But then that same person would say, I'm going to spend time with my kids. I'm going to spend time with my spouse. I'm going to spend time on vacation. I'm going to spend time watching TV, right? Spend is a negative. That's a deficit. We don't expect any ROI from it. If you spend $5 out of your bank account, you got $5 less, right?
You're right.
So what I do is I invest time with my kids. I invest time with my wife. I invest in my spirituality. I invest in myself. I invest in my business. I invest in my fitness. I invest in my finances. I invest in all these areas. I invest in my education, right? I invest. And what you find is some areas of life require less investment in order to get an ROI. My daughter Willow, she's 9 years old. If I invest 5 minutes a day of time, like solo, looking her in the eye, it's just me and her. If I invest 5 minutes, she's good, bro. She loves daddy. She don't want to spend more than 5 minutes with me anyway. She's got a million things she wants to do. But if I invest 5 minutes, I get an ROI. Now, my son, it takes a different level of investment. With him, his personality, we go fishing together. I coach his basketball team. We practice soccer together outside. We play ping pong, right? Like, it's a different investment in order to get an ROI. My wife, if I will lay in the bed with my wife and invest 30 minutes watching Big Bang Theory, Everybody Loves Raymond, Friends, one of those shows, right? If I invest 30 minutes laying in bed with her watching a silly show, dude, I get an ROI. She thinks I'm freaking awesome. She thinks I'm the greatest guy on the planet, right? Because that's kind of her love language. My business, I invest hours in the places where I need to be, right? So I'm face-to-face with clients probably 5 hours a week. Is the investment required in order for my business to be able to operate? Now I have to invest time in research. I have to invest time in other areas, right? In order to make the business run. But it only takes 5 hours of face-to-face investment, time investment in order to get a reward from that. So shift the word spend to the word invest, right? And set the target at 100% in all 8 areas of life. And you'll find yourself living 800%.
I love that. That's just changing the mindset. I love that. So let's jump right into the podcast.
Yeah.
Question I have for you is, why should every dealer have a roadmap?
Every dealer should have a roadmap for 2 reasons. One, the primary reason is so that we can choose to invest our time in the right things, knowing what the target is and the goal, right? We don't jump into our car to drive cross country before we put in an address in the navigation, so that otherwise we just go willy-nilly floating around the United States of America, right? So every dealership needs a roadmap to tell them when to turn left, when to turn right, what areas they need to invest in. Do we need to invest more in marketing? Do we need to invest more in people? Do we need to invest more in property versus just a willy-nilly deal? And the second reason that every dealer needs a roadmap is so that we can track how far we've come. Too often in the automotive world, we don't celebrate wins. We're constantly driving and striving for more, which is great. I'm an advocate for that, right? Always grateful, never satisfied. That's how I live my life. Always grateful, never satisfied. I am so grateful for how far we've come, and there's more there that we need to go get, right? Yeah. It's a combination of both. Whereas most dealers are like, there's more there. But they're never grateful for the journey on how far they've come up till this point. Hero to zero, right? What you did for me yesterday ain't got nothing to do with today, right? These are all things we say in the auto world, and they're very deflating. They're very negative. And it creates this environment where most people outside of our industry just think we're a bunch of greedy bastards, you know, and that's not the reality of the situation. And so I believe every dealer needs a roadmap for those 2 reasons.
Yeah, I love that. When I talk to people in my training class, I always say, I wish there was an ESPN for our business that would show customers our highlights, what we've done well up to this point. So I love the way you said that.
Yeah.
Next question is, what's one thing the salespeople can do at the dealership to unlock their full potential?
Yeah, so one thing that a salesperson can do at a dealership to unlock their full potential is change the way they start their day. This is true not just in the dealership world, in any world, right? Let's use the automotive industry as an example. You know, typical car dealership, today's Monday, typical car dealership. Today, what happened at 8:30 a.m. Over on the sales side anyway, it's a little different on the service side. But typically what happened is people trickled in at whatever time they trickled in, and then they spent some time having conversations about what they did for the weekend, right? Over the weekend. What'd you do over the weekend? I stayed up late, played Fortnite, chased girls, did whatever, right? They had that conversation. Then at some point somebody says, what are we doing for breakfast? And then somebody's got to run over to McDonald's and grab sausage burritos or whatever it is we're getting for breakfast. And somebody else goes over and makes sure everybody's got Monster Energy drinks and Red Bulls and all of those types of things, right? And so we get breakfast, we get our energy drinks, we have conversations about shit that doesn't matter. And then at about 10:30 or 11 o'clock, now we start being productive citizens, right? That's typically what happens in the automotive industry on the sales side. Service side, a little bit different. You got customers first thing in the morning there. Everybody comes in, right? They come in at what time they're supposed to come in. They just start turning wrenches and they start plugging the hours if they're a busy service department, right? So if we can change the way people start their day, or if an individual can change the way they start their day, they can add, they can multiply their productivity while everyone else is still sleeping, right? So one of the very first things that we do with dealerships, very first thing, is we lay out the perfect morning meeting that changes the way everybody starts their day, causes all of our people to make better decisions the night before, gives them something to look forward to. We celebrate them every day. We celebrate our people. We celebrate our wins. You mentioned ESPN for car dealership. You can build your own. You can have, you can hit, you can highlight stuff every single day, and your people will love it if you do, right? And once we encourage them and we advise them and we help do add some development developmental pieces, then we release them out to work. And now we have full productivity all day long.
Love that.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So it's just changing one little thing means a whole thing throughout the whole day, right? It builds
dude,
that
I'm
person
so simple.
Up.
I'm such a simple dude. Like, I am not complicated. I am not. You know, I'm a smart guy. I will say I'm a smart guy because I've been given the gift of being able to identify patterns, right? And I can take a pattern, or I can see something and I can turn it into a quantifiable code. Like, okay, do this, and you're going to get that result. And that's how I live my whole life, man. Everything is a system. Everything's a process, and it has to be so easy a caveman can do it.
I love it. So one of my team members from the APCO holding company had this question that they wanted to hear your answer to. In your mind, what is the best practice to have the sales team collaborate with the F&I department?
So the best practice to have the sales team collaborate with the F&I department is to make sure that your F&I people like to hire, to promote salespeople. Right. Always promote from within. Mm-hmm. If we promote from within, that finance person is going to have a better understanding of what the salespeople are dealing with on a daily basis. And they're already going to have relationships with those salespeople. So we never in the very early stages, we hired from outside. Like, I hired a subprime guy from the outside, but all of my finance managers were homegrown. Every single finance manager in the dealership that I ran, and we grew that dealership 800%. We sold, became the second largest used car franchise dealership in the country. But that was really the key, was to make sure to promote from within. So there's already bonds and relationships built between those salespeople and the finance guys or girls.
I love that. Okay. So in industry standards, everyone's talking about how car sales is going to diminish a little bit because of higher APR or just lack of inventory. And a lot of people are saying, okay, let's focus on fixed, right? So how can the service department grow 800% without having another customer come through the door, just taking their schedule the way they are? How can they grow that business to help offset what's going on the sales side?
Yeah, so it really comes down to daily metrics, but two things. One, what everyone is complaining about in the car industry as far as higher interest rates and lack of inventory is not real. It's not real. It's not true. It's a limiting belief. There has not been an inventory shortage in this country ever. Now, we've had less new cars than what we used to have, but there was plenty of used cars out there. There was never an inventory shortage. Now, there was a shortage of what we were used to and what we were comfortable with and the way we used to do things. So I understand where people came up with there was an inventory shortage. There was not an inventory shortage. There was a new car shortage. And as far as higher APRs, that's a bunch of BS nonsense. People won't buy because the rates are higher. Okay, great. What is the interest rate on your credit card that's in your pocket right now? Corey, you've got a credit card in your pocket. What's the interest rate?
It's got to be 16 to 20% probably.
16 to 20%, maybe even higher. And the reality is you don't even know what the interest rate is. Why do you have the credit card? Why do you have the credit card? Why do you use it if it's a 16 to 24% interest rate and you don't even know what the rate is? Why do you use it?
Because sometimes I might need it.
Because it's convenient, right?
Yeah.
It's convenient. My wallet, wherever my wallet is, if I added up, the available credit on all my cards, there's probably like $250,000, right? Now, if I were to carry $250,000 around in cash, what would that look like? Right? I couldn't do it. Unless I'm Floyd Mayweather, I guess I carry around a bag of cash, right? But $250,000 of cash is a ton of cash, right? It'd be very bulky. And so I like the convenience of my card, right? I also like that my card has points and I get miles when I use my card. So I get free perks and things like that. It also helps my credit when I use a credit card. It helps my overall credit score, which allows me to buy other things. Like if I want to invest in my business or I want to buy car, so on and so forth, right? So there's all these benefits that cause the credit card to have value. Therefore, I don't give a dang what the interest rate is. And the exact same thing is true in automotive. If the value is high enough, the customer don't care what the rate is. Our problem is we're used to selling 2.9% interest rates, 1.9% interest rate, 0% financing for 60 months. So we've created this limiting belief that that stuff actually matters. It doesn't. All that matters is the value exceeds the price. That's it. Simple as that. So we have to start there, right? Because it's not true. The inventory shortage is not true. The rates are too high is not true. There's no reason why you have to sell less cars in this year or next year or any other year, no matter what's happening in the economy. Get that out of the way. Now, if the service department is in a dealership that is going to sell less cars moving forward, what's really, really important is that we measure our metrics daily, not monthly, so that we can increase individual output and celebrate the wins. So most dealerships run on 30-day cycles. This is how we've been trained by the manufacturer, right? Incentives come out every 30 days. People get paid monthly, hero to zero, that whole deal. Everything's in a 30-day window. Our reporting's in 30 days, financial statements 30 days, profit and loss statements 30 days. Everything's set on a 30-day cycle. And so what we do is we set big goals, and then we get halfway through the month. We realize we're not going to reach our goals, so then we push everybody and smack everybody around to reach their goals, and then we do more in the second half of the month than we do in the first half of the month. And we actually believe that that has something to do with the consumer, which it doesn't. Consumer doesn't give a dang what it's the first day, the last day, the second Tuesday, the third Wednesday. But we believe in our heads that we sell more in the second half of the month than we do in the first half of the month. But it really is because we set a target, we set a goal, we didn't reach it. Yes, please. We didn't reach it. And now we're pushing, right? It's the 20th. Now we're pushing. And so how we eliminate all of that is we have daily targets that are based on previous data, not opinions, right? We don't just say, we're going to do this many hours today. All right, you guys go out there and go get them. Your people are like, what? We've never done that many hours before ever in the history of all time. How is that going to happen? This doesn't make any sense, right? So what we do is we say, hey, the data shows that last year on this day, right, on this Tuesday, the first Tuesday of April on in 2022, we did this. So since then, we've added more marketing, more advertising, more this, more lists, more this, more that. So the target is now this, 15% higher, 20% higher, 25% higher, right? And we can justify it because we've shared the data with our people. Here's why we can do more now than we did a year ago. We can justify it. And then we set a daily target. And when they hit the daily target, we come in the next day and we celebrate. Woo! Way to go, Corey! You guys bringing in the goal yesterday. That was awesome. Amazing. Yeah, right? And people are like, holy crap, dude, this is freaking cool. I want to do that again.
Because it feels good.
Hit the goal again today.
Yeah.
Right? And so now we're hitting daily metrics. So even in a bad month, you can find opportunities to celebrate. And when you celebrate people, you get more out of people. Mm-hmm. When you degrade them and beat them down and don't hit goals and don't hit targets, they feel less than, they do less than. When you make them feel like more, they do more. So that's what I would do in a dealership if my volume was going down on one side I would make sure that there were daily metrics that we were celebrating so I could get more out of the individual because they feel like they're more in my eyes.
I love that. That's great. How can the sales team leverage the service department in the sales process in your mind?
The sales team should be building up every asset that the dealership has because the goal is value exceeds price. So we have to increase value. Now, everybody's got the same car. So if Mr. Customer wants to buy a red Nissan Rogue, they won't buy red, by the way, but if they want to buy a red Nissan Rogue, they can get red Nissan Rogues at 20 different stores. There's nothing about the car that is unique that separates. What makes transactions unique in the car business is the dealership itself, the people in that dealership, the assets that that dealership has. So a salesperson needs to leverage the speed, the efficiency, the character, the kindness, the quality of work that gets done in their service department to continue to add value on the front end of the deal. When we leave the service department conversation out of a sales transaction, dude, you're leaving half your chips off the table. Like, it's nonsense. So the customer wants to know that they're going to be taken care of for the long term. They want to know that their dollar, right, the value that they want to know that the value is going to exceed the price of their dollar. And so showing them the service department, connecting them with people in the service department, making them feel like they're going to get VIP treatment this month, next month, 3 months from now, and forever down the road. Those are all things that will help you close deals.
Love that. Okay. What's one thing the dealer owner can do to change the customer experience?
The dealer owner, if he wants to change the customer experience, it all really starts with asking questions. The owner, operator, whoever it is, needs to stop assuming that they know what customers want. Right? Because they saw it in another dealership. Oh, we got to make sure we put that Starbucks machine in the lobby there. NADA said a Starbucks machine in the lobby is exactly what the customers need and want. You know what the customer needs and want? They don't want to be in your lobby.
No,
what do they need and want? They don't want to be in the lobby at all, man. They don't give a damn about no Starbucks in the freaking lobby. That's not what they want, man. They want you to go to their house, pick their car up in the driveway while they're sleeping, and service the vehicle and put it back in the driveway to when they wake up in the morning, it's there. Brian Benstock figured that out at Paragon Honda. And guess what? He's the number one Honda dealer in the world. He figured out how to pick up a car while people are sleeping, service it, and put it back in the driveway. And now he's number one. It's not coincidence. He's number one in the world, right? So dealers need to stop assuming and stop taking notes from some ancient tribal bureaucracy, whatever the heck you want to call it, and instead ask the customers, what is the best thing that we could do to serve you? What is one thing that you would change about our dealership? What is something that you would find valuable that we could participate in creating for you? Start asking those types of questions. Instead of saying, did your salesperson's program your radio? Like, bro, I can program my radio. I can do that, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. You want to show me how to do, like, okay, maybe if I've got a question about it, that's great. But let's stop assuming we know what the customers want, and instead let's start asking them.
Great. I love that. So we're right up against the time, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
Before I end, I want to know your three takeaways from this episode that in your mind, a service advisor, an agent, a membership of leadership team at a dealership can take away from this episode.
Yeah, I think the most important thing that dealerships need to understand the psychology of humans and really this, like, all of nature. All right. So there's something called the standard of average. And it is dangerous for a human or any other animal to stand out. If you look at lions, everybody wants to be the alpha lion, right? I'm the alpha lion. Roar. We've got tattoos of their lions everywhere, right? Well, the alpha lion actually has the shortest lifespan. A lot of people don't know this. It's a very dangerous position to be in. You're under attack all the time as an alpha lion. You also see the same thing with the lone wolf, right? People always talk about, I'm a lone wolf. Dude, if you see a lone wolf, that's a dead wolf. It's been excommunicated from the pack. It will not survive. It's very dangerous. Now, the same thing, it's very dangerous to stand out. And the same thing happens with humanity. Anybody who stands out, like look at Trump, Elon, Oprah, Beyonce, Kanye, Zuck, Will Smith, anybody that stands out, all of a sudden they're under attack, right? Somebody's attacking them over something, right? They're attacking their taxes. They're attacking the skeletons they've got in the closet. They're attacking their character, attacking their words, right? It's a very dangerous position to be in. And so psychologically, what most humans do is they stay right here in the middle. This is why we have a big middle class, right? It's dangerous to be impoverished. It's dangerous to be successful and wealthy. So let's just hang out right here in the pack. This is where it's safe, right? Now you're gonna get this phenomenon, period, because it is dangerous to stand out. Most people don't wanna take that danger. And so if you really wanna move the level in your dealership, whether it be sales, service, your advisors, whatever it is, you have to raise the standard of average. Whatever you allow, whatever level of excellence or average or above average or below average that you allow for the bulk of your people, that's where 80% of your people are going to fall. They're going to fall right there in that standard of average. You could take a top performer at one store, put them in your store, they're going to drop back down and they're going to be right here in the freaking middle. It's just how it works. It's crazy. This is why 90% of salespeople across the United States are selling 10 to 12 cars a month. Because that's the standard of average that we set back in 1973. Crazy, right? They're still selling the same amount of cars they were 50 years ago. So raise the standard of average of what is expected. Hold people accountable to it across the board. Everyone. I don't care if he's been there 30 years. I don't care if he's been there 50 years. I don't care if their name's on the building. Hold the same standards, but raise that standard from what you're comfortable with, and you'll notice all of your people will start to rise with it, because it's not safe to fall below, right? And that's that would be the biggest takeaway is, hey man, inspect what you expect, raise those expectations and bring your people along, get more out of your people, celebrate those wins, and you can grow 800%.
Love it. Well, thank you for sharing that. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family, their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Glenn, that is all the time that we have for today. So blessed to have you on this anniversary episode. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll end with this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Of course, oh man. Of course I'll come back. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy you. I'm grateful for you and the opportunity, man. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Passion, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.